Earnings of the third quarter 2021. This conference call is also being webcast on the company's IR website, ri.marcopolo.com.br, simultaneously in Portuguese and English. In there, you also find the presentation. Right now, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to start the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you need assistance during the conference call, please reach the operator by pressing star zero. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. Before moving on, I would like to let you know that any statements made during this conference call about Marco Polo's business outlooks, projections, operating and financial goals, and potential growth are assumptions based on the management expectations with regards to the company's future. Forward-looking statements highly depend on the conditions of the internal market, the country's economic performance, and international markets, and therefore are subject to changes. Today with us in Caxias do Sul are Mr. José Antonio Valiati, CFO and IR officer, and Eduardo Ulrich, Planning and Investor Relations Manager. Also on the conference call, we have James Bellini, the company CEO. First, Mr. Valiati will talk about Marco Polo's general results for the third quarter 21. Then, Mr. Bellini will talk about the expectations for the remainder of the year. Now, I'm going to turn the call to Mr. Valiati. Please, Mr. Valiati, you may go on. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you for joining us on the conference call of the third quarter 21 of Marco Polo. We are going to move on and start the presentation on slide number 4. Here we show a brief company profile. Marco Polo is one of the largest busbar Brazilian companies, is leader in Brazil in all market segments. Our buses are a reference in safety, comfort, quality, and technology. We are a public company. We have been so since 1978, and today we have more than 88,000 shareholders. We have plants directed to domestic productions in 9 countries, and today we have approximately 8,700 employees. Now we are going to go to the next slide. In the 9 months of 2021, Brazilian bus production was 9,400 units, 23.9% below the same period of 2020. The year has been affected by the reflexes of the second COVID wave. In the quarter, the Brazilian production was strongly affected by the concession of collective vacations in Marco Polo and the absence of produced volumes for the Caminho da Escola program. The production meant to the Brazilian market dropped by 40.9% year on year, whereas the production directed to exports had a drop of 10.4%. Let's go on to the next slide, please. In the quarter, Marco Polo's production for the Brazilian market had a drop of 49.8%. Production for exports had a drop of 54.8%. The drop is associated mostly to the granting of collective vacation in the company's Brazilian plants between the end of August and beginning of September. In external units, production almost doubled in the quarter, an increase of 94.4%. The production increase is related to the partial stop of the production of some of the countries in the second half of 2020, but also related to the economic reopening in these countries. Let's go to the next slide. Net consolidated revenue reached 776.6 million in the quarter, 376 million coming from the internal market, 97 million in exports, and 284.7% from external units. In the third quarter 21, the external units benefited from the economic reopening, a weak comparison base with the third quarter 2020. The highlights were operations in Argentina and South Africa, subsidiaries that were affected by depressed markets even before the pandemic. The domestic market and exports, a lower level of revenues, refer to the granting of collective vacation, lower production, and consequently less deliveries in the quarter. Let's go to the next slide now. In the breakdown of net revenue, the urban segment was the one that had the highest share, accounting for 44.7% of company revenues, with a good momentum with the urban segment in Argentina and Mexico, followed by Intercity with 44.4%, Volare with 22.7%, other revenues with 4.9%, and finally, we have the microbuses with 2.9% of the revenues in the quarter. In the quarter, bodies for charter buses continue to concentrate sales in the intercity segment, accounting for more than 80% of the revenues in the segment in the domestic market. Now let's go on to the next slide. In the quarter, the total income of the company was 72 million, with a gross margin of 9.5%. The gross margin was affected by new adjustments in red headcount, a lower volume of exports, a higher share of the Volare segment, and a lighter mix of products, especially in the intercity segments with sales concentrated on charter boxes. The EBITDA was 95 million in the third quarter 2021 with margin of 12.6%. Also negatively impacted by the adjustments in headcount, a lower revenues from exports, buses with less added value, and also labor movements. EBITDA was also positively affected by 67.6 million because of incurrence of revenues, taxes on corporate entity, and also the decisions of the Supreme Brazilian Court, and 33.5 million in successful lawsuits that discussed the no incurrence of income tax on monetary updates related to financial investments. The consolidated net income for the third quarter 21 was 107 million with a net margin of 14%. The result was affected by the same effects described when I mentioned the results from our EBITDA and the financial results that we have in our report. Additionally, the company recognized the reversal of the provision for income tax and social contribution in the amount of 13 million because there was no incurrence of such taxes in the update of the financial investments and other positive impacts that were reflected on our EBITDA. Now I'm going to turn to James that will talk about our performance and the prospects for the coming months. Good morning, everyone. Well, So here we are in our conference call. I will start talking about the performance and prospects for the domestic market. In the third quarter, deliveries in Brazil concentrated on intercity buses of lighter bodies and also micro and varieties buses. The concerns with the pandemic continue to demand the urban segment. Both light urbans and others had additional demand and kept the performance that we saw throughout the crisis. However, we see an increase on the requests for heavy intercity buses. And also another factor that contributes to this movement is the economic recovery. For urbans, we are going to have a slower recovery. We also have restrictions imposed on public transport, but we have sustained fleet renewal projects that sustain volumes in the segment. In the Road to School program, the company had no deliveries. The new auction has already taken place, and the company has been authorized to supply directly 3,900 units. We have already started production and have a very positive expectation for the last quarter 21 and first quarter of 22, due to a high number of cities that joined the program. Marcopolo continued to be leader in the market in the third quarter 21. If we add the Volare production, our market share would go up substantially. Now we are going to go to the next slide. Now we are going to talk about the performance of Volare and the foreign market. We are still affected by the current scenario. The most heated market continued to be Chile and Mexico, recovering orders in this quarter. The main positive aspect is the exchange rate that helps in companies' competitiveness. The foreign market was the highlight for this market. We have accelerated production of urban buses, and we expect to have an increase for the fourth quarter of 21. In the third quarter 21, Marcopolo Australia reached an important achievement for the supply of 341 units in Melbourne for the coming years, with a robust portfolio of orders for the fourth quarter of 21 and 22. The operation has also been standing out with alternative solutions. Marcopolo South Africa managed to reach the break-even point after restructuring the operation, with also good prospects for the coming quarter. In Mexico, the sale mix continues concentrated in urban buses with lower added value, which affects the corporation's profitability and is not showing a relevant recovery in the short term. Marcopolo China shows a gradual resumption of sales and is also opening new markets, reducing its operational losses. The Colombian affiliate Superpolo maintained positive results despite the drop in volumes, with very good prospects for the coming quarter. Now we are going to go on to the next slide. Here we see the market environment. The company believes the fourth quarter of 21 is going to be one with a positive inflection of volumes in the coming months because we have a loss in COVID cases, we have longer trips and reopening of cities, as well as classes at schools and universities. We see that we are having more orders for sales and volumes of the Caminho da Escola program also ensure a healthy production of micros and varieties for the plants in Brazil. You know that Marcopolo went through a major restructuring in this difficult period of pandemic. Basically, we started that in the second quarter of 2020, and we had yet another surge in the third quarter 2021. We are not projecting new reductions of significant impacts for the fourth quarter, and we are going back to hiring personnel for our production plants. Mechanisms as collective vacation and layoffs will probably not be made use of in the fourth quarter 2021. And important initiatives such as plant optimization, restructuring of operations, and cost reductions, which really affected the results, are now generating good results. Even during the pandemic, the company had strategic investments that allowed for gains in efficiency, quality, and the launch of innovative products, including the exploration of new modes such as Marcopolo's Rail and Generation 8. And we believe volumes will pick up, which is already happening because we had a halt of orders between 2020 and 2021. Now we have a possible advance of purchases due to a change in the rules for 2023 and the back of the Caminho da Escola program, which really shows something that is basically back to the levels of 2019. Now we are going on to the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. This is only for analysts and investors. We would like to let the journalists that are attending the conference know that the executives will be able to answer your questions at the end of this call on the phone 54-2101-4660. If you have a question, please press star one. To withdraw your question from the queue, press star two. Our first question comes from Fernanda Hecker from BTG Pactual. Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first, I would like to know what you think you're going to have for the Caminho da Escola program. In APIMEC, you're talking about 800 units. Do you think the estimate remains? The second question is if you could talk a bit more about the collective vacations. You said that this is a relevant impact, and we would like to know about your margins that you were impacted and what we should expect for the fourth quarter. Should we start to going back to see the EBITDA margins back to normal? Thank you. Well, first, the Caminho da Escola program. Thanks for your question, Fernanda. We are going to have a very good performance in the program. Again, we have a high number of cities that joined the program, so we have a very robust portfolio already in the beginning of deliveries for the program. I don't know if we are going to reach the 800 units that were projected. Part of them will possibly be transferred for the first quarter of next year, but it's going to be a very intense pace, perhaps slightly below what we had expected, but quite good. As for the impact of the collective vacation, Fernando, effectively in the quarter, because we had 20 days of collective vacations in Caxias do Sul units, both in Arraial and São Maria, and 30 days of collective vacations in São Mateus, our production volume and consequently sales volumes were effectively affected because of lower production volume and consequently a lower sales volume. Of course, this mechanism of using collective vacations was something that we decided to use because we decided to use the vacation provision, and we advanced an effect that we would have in the first quarter of 2022. So basically, we adjusted the operation, and naturally, the result of the quarter was impacted because of a lower production volume and consequently a lower sales volume because there were, a lower period of operations and of sales. Okay, I understand that. But do you think you can have an approximate number due to EBITDA margin impact due to the collective vacations? Do you have a number, or at least in the ballgame? Well, the number is not directly measured because when you have a lower production volume, in addition to variable costs that you incur in, you have fixed costs that continue to be valid. So that would be an impact. I don't know if I were to try to estimate a number, I would see approximately 15 million, perhaps. That would be the fixed cost of the quarter. Okay, thank you very much. Our next question comes from Victor Mizusaki from Bradesco BBI. Hello, good morning. I have two questions on my side. The first is with regard to the reduction in headcount. We saw Marcopolo implementing this strategy along 21, but as James mentioned, with expectations of a stronger result in the fourth quarter, you are back to hiring people. I would like to understand Marcopolo's productivity a bit better. I don't know if you have a KPI, amount of buses per headcount. I don't know exactly if you have a metric for that. And the second question is about the Caminhos da Escola program. If we were to compare to the last auction, and if you think of effective prices, what would be the price increase that we should see in the results of the fourth quarter? Thank you. Hi, Victor. Good morning. Well, headcount reduction and how the company controls on average efficiency. We have basically the metric of production hours and available hours or idle hours. Because during the pandemic, we had several adjustments, not only with direct labor, but also contractors to adjust the company to a market reality with a lower demand. We do have expectations of being able to something that we always talk internally, which is growing without growing. That is growing, improving efficiency with our direct labor, but also growing with as much contingency as possible on costs related to contractors or indirect labor. With regards to productivity, we have metrics and targets to grow efficiency in productivity because when demand increases, that is easier than the opposite. When you have more capacity than demand, then you have much difficulty to optimize resources. And what we are experiencing now, as of the fourth quarter, is exactly that. We have enough demand to occupy the whole of our direct labor. We are hiring some headcount, but what we want is to deliver more volumes, to have more sales with the same headcount. And that is what we are seeking. As for prices for the Caminho da Escola program, Victor, we made adjustments, compared to the cost base of 2019. The increase was about 35 to 45%. You can see the precise price on the bid platform itself. This is public information. You are going to see the different prices just for you to have an order of magnitude of increases. Okay, thank you very much. Our next question comes from Carlos Herrera from Condor Insider. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question, and thanks for the presentation. I would like to know if you are thinking of launching a buyback program. No, we are not right now, Carlos. This is a period, that has not been easy for the company, the whole of the pandemic. And so we are really focusing on preserving cash. So we are not considering a buyback program right now. Okay, thank you very much. Our next question comes from Jonas Koutras from J.P. Morgan. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for the presentation. My question is about raw material costs. What it is like. And the second question is how local global supply is affecting Marcopolo. We know of the silicones, so we would like to understand what is going on with regard to those points. Okay, Jonathan, thank you. As for costs, we still see an increase above what we had before the pandemic. So, costs, they are still at a level that is different from what we saw in the past. But as these costs incur, we try to pass through these costs, and the market obviously has been more difficult during the pandemic and in recent months. But that is a natural process to pass through costs as we are affected by them. As for the lack of components, particularly the semiconductors and silicones, this continues to be a concern. We continue to see problems in supply chains that support Marcopolo, and we still do not have an estimate for us to go back to normal. That affects the pace of production with possible delays, much more than causes major interruptions. We had, a major halt due to the collective vacations, but we also had some breaths to have a bit higher inventory of raw materials for us not to have any interruption in the short term. So today, we don't expect to have any downtime due to the lack of components. But of course, that continues to be a concern. Okay, thank you very much, Eduardo. Our next question comes from Wagner Salazari from Quintiles. Good morning, everyone. My question is just for you to give a bit more detail on your backlog and what you expect for the fourth quarter 2021 and first quarter 2022. If you have an improve in the mix of intercity buses, if clients are actually placing orders. And also, I would like to know about the competitive environment, how you see the competition. Do you think they are also having increased prices to pass through costs, or if you still see a price war with regard to the other players in the market? Okay, as for the backlog, and thanks for the question. The backlog goes up to the end of January, so we do have orders starting in February. And depending on the product, we have more or less visibility. Molari and microbuses, for instance, due to the requests from the Caminho da Escola, really gives a very concrete positioning for this product. But overall, we are going up to the end of January. When we see the product mix, we already see the shift that we talked about the intercity segment. We already see some movement going towards the charter buses in opposition to heavier buses. So this movement is already happening. We are, monitoring to see when we are going to get to a balance point, but we do see a higher movement of buses directed to tourist traveling, considering that the end of the year is going to be more back to normal in terms of passenger flows and traveling. As for the competitive environment, it's always a struggle, Wagner, especially when the market has, installed capacity more than demand. So the competition is always even fiercer. But due to the pandemic, most manufacturers adjusted their production volumes. And as the market recovers, the trend is that we are going to have a bit less intense competition. On the other hand, Marcopolo, as market leader, has always positioned itself as also leader in marking at prices, and that's what we have been doing. We are trying to recover margins, passing through increases that we are having in our costs, and the competition has no other option. It is, very hard, perhaps harder than expected, but people will have to follow this move because there are no miracles. And the impacts on costs is not only for bus manufacturers, it's for the whole of the industry. And we have no other option but passing them through. Just one comment. You are more and more talking about working on the transportation business even with more presence. When do you think this market is going to be relevant in sales, and what regions would request this kind of transportation? Well, the rail topic is very important as we gain experience in the production of products, we gain expertise and manufacturing intelligence. So now we are capturing some orders, as we have already mentioned, for the Guarulhos project. And as we gain resilience, we are entering larger projects, both in the domestic and external markets. We are discussing possibilities. Here, Marcopolo has taken active part in several projects. It's still incipient. We cannot tell when this is going to become representative in the allocation of revenues, but it is a movement today to gain experience with this rail product. Okay, thank you very much. We are now closing the Q&A session. We would like to turn the call back to Mr. Valiati for his final words. Please, Mr. Valiati, you may go on. Well, once again, we thank you so much for attending our call. Remember that our department is available for any further clarifications you may need. I wish you a good day and all the best. Marcos Paulo conference call is now closed. We thank you very much for joining us and wish you a very good day.